swim. To the Sickness, Ignorance, and Decadence show, brought to you from the dead, the netherworld. Oops, wrong show. Sorry. It's Dr. Fred Bell's live, Saturday Night Live, Health, Science, and Energy show. And I think our sidekick is out there. Are you there, sidekick?
I'm here.
Boy, you know what? I almost had the wrong show here. I thought I was doing one for Uncle George tonight. That's the Thursday night show. So anyhow, have we got any callers yet?
No callers yet. They can call, though, if anybody wants.
Well, nobody has any questions on the receptor, so we'll jump right into the topic of the night.
All right.
Yeah. Now, first of all, what I'm not going to talk about tonight, about herbs, because the show tonight is about herbs. It's kind of a grounded Mother Nature show. I'm not going to talk about alkaloids and what they do. I'm not going to talk about anthraquinone. I'm not going to talk about bitters. I'm not going to talk about flavonoids, mucilage, saponins, tannins, and the normal stuff, volatile oils, all the kinds of things that you learn about in herbs I'm not going to talk about tonight. Those I'm going to talk about in great detail on the weekly show, but not on tonight. Because tonight I want to talk about the energy of herbs and the secret of Ayurvedic medicine. Now, Don, do you take any herbs?
Actually, I do, but we have a caller here, I think, just called in.
Caller, right now.
Okay, I'll put him online.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Fred, honor again. Scott from Australia, the composter.
Yeah, hi, how are you doing down there?
Good, mate. How you doing?
Good, excellent, never better. Since I got my shows mixed up, I thought I was doing the death show for George Bush. I realized I was doing a live show for Don Newsom. Other than that, I'm okay.
Yep. Well, you're on the... Well, I'm glad you're doing this one.
Yeah, this is a better show. I hate doing the other one.
Yeah, that's
a bad show.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your question tonight?
Got several here, but what I'm really interested in is what I'm getting into now. I've got your duotone receptor on. I got it back after getting repaired.
You got what out being repaired?
Oh, I pulled it off too tight.
What pulled what off?
The receptor. The little chain on the end where it connected onto the ring.
Duotone you have on?
Duotone, yeah.
Shouldn't do that. It should be a really solid. What are you getting it caught on, the combine or something, or what?
Sorry, what did you say then?
You must have got it caught on something.
I was trying to get it over my glasses and my big head.
Oh, okay.
And I sort of swung it off and put a little bit too much strength into it. And, she just...
Well, you got to realize that the receptor gives you superhuman powers.
Yeah, well, that's what
I mean, literally, it does eventually. I mean, we should be getting it on our own about now, but... You know,
superheroes,
you know, comic books came from the a little gleam of the future truth that's never manifested because, you know, that damn show I do for George Bush, but that's another subject. Go ahead.
So it's good to have it back on after a week and actually found out, yes, it is 14-karat gold bridge and it's a sterling silver base. I didn't have it valued because that was going to cost another $50, but I'm interested in doing that, you know, because it's...
Yeah, if they're smart down there, I had a... The client do a 3-carat receptor diamond on it. He certified the diamond. They took it over to Hawaii. It was the platinum receptor, and the jeweler gave a pretty high appraisal on it. And this is a funny story. It's true though. I says, he's a doctor friend of mine, and he makes actually parrot food for all the world. But anyhow, Dr. Ted, we call him. I said, Dr. Ted, what do you mean they gave you a high appraisal. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just they don't understand the amount of money it costs to develop the curve of it. That curve, I had to have like 7 NASA scientists design a computer program because it's got pyramids of 52-degree angles sitting on a concave surface, which a computer just like can't do it. So anyhow, they don't understand all that technology we put into it. And so I says, what's the deal here? And why are they giving you such a high appraisal? And he said, because you made it. And I says, what do you mean? He says, Dr. Fred Bell, do you realize that you're like a Gucci out there in the jewelry business? That you have a name? Your stuff is now used in estate planning? I says, I don't believe it, but it's true. So you might get a strange appraisal on it.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's kind of ingratiating and humiliating at the same time. People ask me when I wear my receptor, are you a jewelry maker? Well, I guess the honest answer is no, because I don't make it, somebody else does. But maybe I should say yes, I am, because you know I designed it. I don't know. But actually, I said no, Semyasi from the Pleiades designed it. She's a jewelry maker, and then they're going to lock me up. So when you wear a receptor, it's a whole dilemma of stuff that goes on in your head. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Now, go ahead.
So I'm really interested in how the scalar technology and scalar waves and how the pyramids actually work, the resonance, what that actually does the
scalar wave is a stand down of the life force. In other words, if you took a pyramid, it's an ordinary pyramid, right?
Yep.
And you place it over something, it's going to change the pH. And then if you look at the pyramid in your body, carbon atom, right?
Yep.
And the iron atom, the shape of it. You look at that and realize that how you as a physical person, you know, just ask you know, all you listeners, ask yourself, okay, you're standing here, you're standing next to a rock, okay, you're standing right next to a rock, and you're standing next to a squirrel. So you got a rock, a squirrel, and you, okay? You ask that rock to sign an autograph. The rock doesn't do anything. You ask the squirrel to sign an autograph. It runs off. And you ask something to, you know, yourself. I ask you to sign an autograph. You can sign it. What's the difference? What is there between a rock and a squirrel and you that allows you to sign an autograph or do anything like that that a squirrel and a rock can't do? What's the answer?
Well, I'd say it's a communication and
skill. Now, look at it from a material point of view. What's your body? You're a living being. You know, a moth is a living being. A bee is, a fly, a squirrel, and a rock. What is unique in the fact of your body that the squirrel, why did the squirrel just say, hey, man, what's happening? You know, what was the difference? There's got to be something there that makes a difference.
Higher level of consciousness?
Yeah, a level of consciousness. Well, the squirrel's the animal is conscious itself. You know, if you scare them, if they get hot, they get cold, they get hungry, they're conscious. You know,
one of them has a conscience.
Yeah, but my question is, even with that, what's the difference in the structure here of how this operates in your body? There's something going on in the squirrel and you that's common, but more so in you than the squirrel. You know what that is?
Don't you love it when he confounds you like that?
I'm thinking,
well, you know what, Dr. Bell is good. You guys want class? You know, we're going into the classroom. We've had the high and mighty jolly ride on all the stuff that I do. Now I'm going to make you guys teach others. It's time.
Hypothalamus.
What?
No, sorry. The gland in the brain that you're talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Here's what I'm looking for, because I'm going back to your first question. It's about shape energy, okay? It's shape energy. The animal's going to have more tetrahedral structures in his body. The rock's going to have everything, but it hasn't integrated the structure with life, like in an oversoul. So what happens is the human body has more tetrahedral structures. The tetrahedral structure is a pyramid. You got more of them than a squirrel. That allows more of something to come into your body to animate you, to give you the consciousness to get on a radio show and have, you know, and somebody designed the, you know, the radio and the computer. It gives us that extra thing, and that's the shape of the pyramid. That's what's on the receptor. So realize it's the shape. It's not because it's made out of whatever. It doesn't matter. It's the shape. It's all about geometry. When you get into designing things, way up there, it's all about geometry. It's form, it's shape, it's energy. It makes it all happen. And geometry starts with the atom, you know, as far as I teach it in this world. If I were teaching this somewhere else, I could start with a lepton, but that's a little over the top. We start with an atom here in this world. So what happens is we have this pyramid shape, and that pyramid shape, out of nowhere, allows a potential of 7 levels of consciousness to come through. Now, so it's coming through. The squirrel's getting that, you know. What's the difference next? Well, then you have to go to the next step. And the next step is you have to have a demodulating process in the body to bring this down and interpret the 7 levels. The squirrel can probably do about 5 or 6. The difference between an animal and a human is conscious of consciousness. So the difference becomes something that even a squirrel might be having the thoughts that you're having but doesn't know how to express them. So we have more of a system here. We have endocrine glands. We have, you know, pituitary, pineal gland, all those different glands that make us work. And all these things have shape energy in them, and it's the combination of the resonance of that shape energy that makes us human and spiritual and allows us to communicate. The receptor is a device that works a lot like an herb in the fact that it fixes all the stuff that gets broken. Because in our entire lives, most people live in denial, they live in shame, family dysfunctional. I mean, there's many families out there, God bless them, that are great. There's many of them that are dysfunctional. Unfortunately, there's more dysfunctional than there are great families. So all of this gives us a complex, and it can lead us to addiction or many things in life. So the receptor technology, what it does is it fixes the biochemical side of it, but you still have to fix the spiritual side on your own, obviously. So anyhow, I'm trying to get to the root now. You're starting to understand it more?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You have the difference between the three, the rock, the squirrel, and the person, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But the scalar part, so it, scalar, what is it?
Okay, the scalar wave. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. The scalar wave is the concept of the life force. Now, we talked about the force. And the demodulating system, right? The pyramid.
Yep.
Scalar wave is the sequence of which that energy enters form, enters the pyramid shape, the tetrahedron, octahedron shape. It's the manner of it. So the scalar wave becomes, it's like if you hook a battery up to a coil, you wind a little wire coil, and you hook up the battery to the coil. What happens when you take a coil and put it across the battery if it's got like a nail or something? And what does it become? Take a wire. Listen, you take a wire and you wind it around
capacitor?
A nail. You hook it to a battery. What do you get?
A
magnet.
Electromagnetic field.
Exactly. Magnetic
yeah.
field. Same thing with the human body. What is the difference? What is the difference? The difference. You look at a human body, right? We have hormones are released from the endocrine glands, 7 levels of consciousness, 7 endocrine glands, and up from the bloodstream, as they come in the bloodstream, by the way, they just don't open up and flood in, they're resonated in, which is magnetic, and up they come to the brain. The brain gets these hormones, and they're sitting in electrolytes. The electrolytes are providing electricity, a battery, and all of a sudden the hormones go ding, 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 and they're working away, ticking away, and they're firing off. They're closing these receptors. They're closing these effector neurons in the body. And electricity is coming out of the electrolytes and going down through the spinal cord, 72,000 wires called nadis. And you have an electromagnetic field. Okay?
Yep.
Back to the question. That's a coil. That's a battery. What's the difference between that and the human? Not much. The scalar is the method of what causes the battery and the coil marriage to make a magnetic field. It is that method. It is the method that causes an animation, the electrolytes in the brain, and then the electrolytes in the brain fire off, creating a magnetic field. But now the attraction. You know, the difference between a magnetic field in a wire, in a nail, and a field, a magnetic field in the human body, is the magnetic field in the human body is called a Seebeck. And the Seebeck field is different than a north and south pole. In the human body, it is a series of north and south poles going from the head to the toes, a series of those magnets. And then what happens is the scalar wave then flips those magnets. And we know that unlike charges attract and like charges repel. So if you do that to all the magnets in the human body, you get all these magnets start spinning like little motors down through the body because they're north and south. And what's changing the polarity of the field is the modulation of the synapses of the hormones arriving there. To do that on a battery, what you would do is you would take a battery and you would take it, you'd take your coil and your contacts there and you'd turn the battery over. Since you turn the battery over, it would reverse polarity. You turn the battery over again, it would reverse polarity. If you had two batteries and two magnets, one right on top of the other, at certain points, as these two batteries are changing positive to negative to the coil, one battery mechanism above and one below, sometimes these coils or magnets, electromagnets, are repelling and sometimes they are attracting. And the combination of those through your entire body creates a alternating field, and it begins to resonate. That field, you get those magnets, all of those magnets spinning in harmony rather than randomly changing the battery. Now you got what's called a master oscillator, a clock, and you're tuning these things simultaneously. That's done through the central nervous system in what's called the nodes of Renier. All the nerves in your body have little tiny magnets that can split polarity all through your body, and they're called nodes of Renier. And so what happens is you become resonant to something. When you live in a world like we live in without help, when you breathe carbon monoxide and eat poison all day long, those little magnets are all flipping out and they're all just random. You can't get them working. Well, what they can do, what science is doing now, medical science, is let's say there's 10 magnets and they should all go together, this way, that way, blah, blah, blah. But in this scenario, these 10 magnets, which is our nerves, our central nervous system, the wires that we're talking about, our aerial transmitters, okay, let's say that five of them aren't working properly and five are. So what the receptor would do is make all five of them align themselves and work again, but then I could go out and get an MOA inhibitor, right, and I can shoot you up with a couple of, legal prescription drugs,
yep.
And you won't be aware of those five magnets that are out of synchronicity. What I will do, what this drug will do for you, it'll hook you up to the other five that are working, and you'll be conscious of them, but the five that aren't working, you won't be conscious of them anymore.
Mm.
And what does that mean? Well, that means your aura field is not going to display a complete personality anymore. So you're going to function in certain areas. You're going to be oblivious to the others.
Yeah, they seem a bit weird, like they're high on drugs.
Do you understand what I just said?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yep. Cool. Thank you. Because I wasn't sure if I said it right or not.
No, that sounded good.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, you're asking me.
Go ahead.
You're asking me to talk?
Yeah, I was asking you. I interrupted you, Rudy.
Yeah, sorry, no. That sounded good to me. Before you got into the nodes of Renier, I was starting to think of one of your drawings about photons, I think, through fat.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking of that going on because you're talking about the positive and negative, and I was thinking that's what's going on, maybe. There's a communication there. There's something like photons going through the system. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
scalar waves are the method of moving that energy into your system. Now, when we use scalar wave systems, like in time travel in our systems 3, we're not doing the same thing with scalar waves that we are doing in human body. What we're doing in the human body is we're taking scalar waves and we're synchronizing all of these joints and making... If there's a weak motor down there that's not spinning a magnet properly, what we're going to do is we're going to overhaul that motor and make it go to work. We're going to wake it up. We're going to put some oil on it. That's what the receptor does. You follow me in simple terms?
You get into
the system stuff like the irradiators. We're assuming now that your body's already functioning properly and you can communicate with a higher form of intelligence or a more powerful form of intelligence or a more amperage. And then so what we do is we give you amperage so that you can overcome this energy, this scalar wave energy that's going to others that aren't blessed enough to get into this technology and do things for themselves, and it creates a crushing effect in their aura field so that they have a chance to, you know, like take a breath. So that's like healing the planet kind of stuff. And that's what that's what transmitting scalar waves do. That's the reverse of it. So the scalar waves work two ways. They work animating your life force with clarity, and then they take the life force payback, the bounce back, and they send it out and fix somebody that has no capability of doing a self-animation. You follow what I'm saying? And that's what scalar waves are unique about. And when you really get to understand them, you realize that that's the energy that transmits the energy from the collapsing star into the cells in your body. You know, it's like that's the feedback path. So it's really cool when you start understanding how this stuff works. And, you know, what's really neat to me, from my standpoint, you know, I'm insane about all this stuff, and I know that, but people out there in this world like yourself are starting to understand me now, and starting not only understand me, but do something with us and actually make a difference. Because this technology is what is not just known by us, but tonight when I started, I thought I was on the other network, and I was bringing my sickness, ignorance, and decadence show out. You know, I thought I was on that one. I got so confused. That listening audience out there also knows the stuff that we're talking about. Hitler even knew it. So, I mean, don't think that the secret government does not understand a word that I'm saying, because they understand every word of it perfectly. And what's sad is that people out here in this world, in the health science energy world that I like to be in, are starting to learn about it a little bit late, because these guys already got a head start. But the fact is, the technology comes from one source, and that's the source that I'm very familiar with. And I know exactly where they are, and I know exactly how to stop them in their tracks. But I can't do that by myself. And I can't tell you to do it or anybody else, because that's impossible. That's taking away your freedom to do nothing. So what happens is, all I can do is educate, and if there's enough, you know, straw in your canvas, and some of the education sets an ember here and there, and you get a fire going, that's great. But it's got to come from within, because if it doesn't come from within, an understanding of this stuff, then what good is it? It's useless. You know, I sit in my own room, my own world. But I do know from experience that we're on the right track, and we'll turn this thing around. It's going to happen pretty fast, actually, but still, it takes a dedicated effort of understanding.
Yeah, it takes
It
takes what you're working on. I mean, I started thinking of it yesterday. I go and talk to a mate who's on the same sort of level as me. We're discovering things, and we're talking about resonance. And I was saying, well, you know, he's talking about me being on this upward path of learning, like he is, and I said, well, I think the reason why this is because I'm looking after my body and what I put in it, and that's helping it resonate at a better. It's growing. It will.
That's exactly
it's able
right.
To resonate
that's
better.
That's well said. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, it's so easy when you're young to just screw the body up, throw liquor in it, drugs in it, you know, abuse it, don't exercise, throw junk food. You know, it's so easy to do that because you got such a great life force that can overcome most of it. But imagine if you just didn't do any of that and you went with your life force, where you'd be. It's like, that's how it works. And as far as euphoric escapes, believe me, when you work with your life force, there's euphoric escapes, you know, parties or whatever, that are so far beyond what, you know, the gross side of it is. I mean, the world's used to the gross side of it. That's why people go to jail, kill each other on DUIs, all this stuff, because they don't understand the divine part of it. The divine part is a much better party. Everybody can attend, and nobody gets killed going home. Very simple.
Need to change that culture somehow.
Oh, well, we're doing it. Hey,
yeah.
DBS Radio, right, Don?
He's going to the toilet.
Don,
right? Absolutely. DBS Radio, man, all the way.
Hey, Don, you can't space out on this show. You're going to be fast here.
I was just putting up a couple new pictures on the bbsradio.com, pretty wild ones.
Oh, I'll set you some up.
just one more.
Did I say the right thing, though?
No, I don't know what you said.
BBS Radio all the way.
Yeah, that's
right. Okay.
That's really good. I like that. Okay, what else is going on?
I've tested I've got the radome, and I tested it. I pH tested it on water and saliva and and urine, and I didn't notice any in a glass jar.
Yeah, what were you using for your pH apparatus measuring?
Oh, the pH measurer. That was something like a electronic. It measures the 0.1 of a pH.
Yeah.
I've actually got it in my box, which is 3 meters from my hand. If you wanted me to grab it.
No, that's okay. And what was the pH of the water when you started? Is that what you were testing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it didn't change. It started off at about 7.
What was the volume of it? How much water were you testing?
Oh, yeah, it was a glass, about 250 mil.
Yeah, I would have gone with thing. And you had a radome?
Yeah, I tried a radome on it, yep.
Yeah, for a glass of water, I would use the Portamid.
Try Portamid on it?
A glass of water, you want a big change, I'd use a couple of drops of water.
Okay, so then, I thought it might be.
Works radionically. I love it. Everybody goes for grossness with this stuff. I explain that. It's so funny. I explain about radionics, and I explain about homeopathic medicine, where the more diluted it is, the finer the change, the more powerful it is. So you got to go about your test differently. But that's okay. What was the pH of the water anyway, out of curiosity?
7.8 to 8. I've got this.
So it's 7.8 to 8, right? That's what it was?
Yeah.
Can I explain something to you?
Yeah.
The pH of pyramids is about the same, so how could you measure a change?
Yeah.
You need to use grapefruit juice. And you can use a whole cup of it under a radome.
Yep.
The pyramid takes the pH right where it's supposed to be. 7.5 is the perfect amount of pH for a human body. And if it's delivering a scalar wave of life force, it does. Then there would be no change. So your test was totally successful. There was no change.
Yeah, so I needed something with lower pH for it to change it.
Yeah, there shouldn't have been a change.
Yeah.
when you start out with perfect. That's pretty good water. Where'd you get that water at?
Here in, Ipswich, which is half an hour west of Brisbane.
Yeah.
If you've heard of Brisbane, where the, have you heard of the Gold Coast Indy?
The what? Beg your pardon?
The Gold Coast Indy car.
IndyCar?
Your IndyCars come here to the Gold Coast. I think they start off here.
Yeah,
their
okay.
First race. Or their finishing race.
Okay, I got it.
Well, the Gold Coast, where we got all the nice blondes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I live about an hour west from there.
Okay.
So a little bit inland, about 50 Ks inland, and... Yeah, I got this, what's it called, the water shower filter from Wellness Water, wellness.com.au.
Yeah, and you filtered the water out and did all the good stuff to it.
Yeah, it actually changed the pH from 7.8 to 8.0.
What did?
This Wellness Water filter, and I didn't even realize that until after looking at the tests again. I was trying to measure a change in your, the receptor and the pyramid.
Yeah.
And I wasn't paying attention to what the shower filter might be doing, and I finally looked at it and went, hey, that shower filter is changing the pH from 7.8 to 8.0.
That's cool.
Which is, yeah, that's...
You don't want to go much beyond that or you get too alkaline.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to balance. You got to balance.
I've probably got calcium in it somewhere. Calcium will do that.
Well, they're talking about putting the flu...
Huh?
They're really trying to get the council to put fluoride in our water, and the water board won't do it. And apparently the minister over here, whatever his name is, I can't remember that.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to take them to court or do something.
What's his concern?
What's his concern?
Yeah,
no.
It's amazing that how deep this gets, this political thing, you know?
Yeah.
The minister obviously listens to my death show.
I think he's getting pushed by the medical association.
Yeah.
The doctors to put fluoride in our water, and I'm.
Oh, you're gonna get fluoride now. That would be great.
Yeah, fluoride, which would be
that way. Yeah, it brings that right up.
Hitler, wasn't Hitler doing that?
Yeah. That's all Operation Paperclip stuff. People came to inaugurate you guys to all that stuff. That's real interesting.
Oh, talking about paperclip. Why doesn't the moon spin? We only see one side of it. Is that true?
Well, the moon is not rotating like the Earth, no.
But we never see like one side of it.
We only see the front of the moon. That's correct.
So, why is that?
Because the moon doesn't turn. The moon was towed in. Was brought in here a long time ago. And the moon was brought into the solar system to balance the Earth, because the Earth's got a bit of a wobble problem, and it slowed it down a little bit. The Earth doesn't do too well. You know, the Earth is not a sacred planet, so therefore when it spins around in the solar system, it does all the, you know, you went to planet school, and you had seven planets that went through, and there was a scale of 0 to 7, the Earth would be, like, at the bottom. You know, it's a very, very screwed up planet in behavior of planets. And on top of that, man's taken out the shock absorber, which was oil. You know, there was
yeah,
a reason
I just
why
read
we
that.
Had a Pleistocene age and dinosaurs, because that was necessary in the future, as the rotation around the Pleiades was going to be like driving off a freeway onto a gravel road. The Earth is going to be shaking a little bit, but there had to be some protection. Because when you start taking spirit and matter and oscillating it, it creates a earthquake kind of condition anyway. So all these things were taken into consideration. And it's just like, right now the Earth's not doing too well. And so therefore the moon was brought in, towed in by an extraterrestrial race, and it was set in orbit, because they were trying to, you know, from a, I guess, a kind of a physical plane level, try to fix this place to make it like a sacred planet. No, but it's not. It's an unsacred world. As long as it's an unsacred world, we're going to have this 12,000-year, you know, conflict that we have, producing an exodus of 144,000 souls, and it just goes on and on and on. That's what history is written about. You know, like Nostradamus had an extra thick history book, you know, to make his prediction. Anyway, another subject, another day.
I thought it might be because the Greys, the story about
Greys,
the Greys being
the Greys
on the backside of it.
Energy scavengers.
I thought they might have stopped it
yeah,
spinning.
If you spill the cement, they clean it up. No, they're not a big threat. They're a big threat to people that they're a big threat to the people, you know, on this world that are unconscious. You know, they love to prey on unconsciousness. And because people have this horrible health habit and do such stupid things, they've got it's a feeding frenzy for them. But in the big scheme of things, dealing with the masters and the extraterrestrials and the interrelated work between the masters and the extraterrestrials, the Greys are just like flipping a fly off you, you know? No big deal. But in the process of educating yourself to the Greys, they are pure hell if you get on the wrong side, you know?
Hmm.
How's Don doing? Are you there, Don?
I'm here.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
I got my sidekick, baby. I love a sidekick. And I can't wait till Don gets out here in California, because I'm going to go physically kick him in the side. You know, he'll always come on when we get the television show going. He'll have a big bruise on his right eye. Yeah, any more questions?
Yeah, with the antenna, how, like you say, the chain length of this receptor is
that's
like an antenna.
DNA. Anywhere between 26 and 32 inches.
How does it actually
spectrum.
Work
yeah.
as an antenna?
Yeah, it is. It's a quarter wavelength antenna.
But how does it
actually a third wavelength. Human DNA is about 36 inches, 39 inches long.
So what does it
the
resonate?
Of it. The spinning magnets kind of thing I laid out in the first beginning of the deal, you know.
Oh, yeah, so because of its length,
yeah.
like a bridge, say, if it would resonate a certain...
And what it does, the funny thing about human DNA antenna, it resonates to the outside world. Most antennas work the opposite. Like, an antenna resonates, it sends off a radiation, another one collects it, you know, in the physical plane. But the human DNA resonates the opposite of that. It takes the outside world and sucks it in. Kind of a threat, you know, and that's why the chromosomes aren't present all the time. You know, you know how many chromosomes is normal for human body? By the way, do you know?
30 odd. I think.
How many chromosomes?
20, 30.
46.
Oh yeah.
Now, if I had 46 base pairs, you know, chromosomes sitting there, okay, and I'm looking at your DNA right now in a microscope. And I'm going to look at it for 10 minutes. Okay, I'm looking at your DNA alive, okay, for 10 minutes.
Yep.
And I'm looking for 46 chromosomes in each base pair per turn of your DNA. Let's say you've got, you know, 35 strands of DNA. And I'm looking for those chromosomes. In a 10-minute period, am I going to be looking continuously at those chromosomes, or are they going to be, like, not there all the time?
I think they're going to oxidize and die.
No, chromosomes won't be there, okay? Chromosomes come and go. They appear and disappear. And only when they're appearing does the cell reproduce. It's called mitosis, to make another cell. So if you don't have the right thing going on in your body, those chromosomes don't come so often. If they don't come so often, the mitosis process of your body slows down, and your DNA fails to replicate. And so you would call that the aging process. You follow me? When you wear the receptor, it causes the chromosomes to be attracted to it. And so they're a lot, man. They want to dance in it. Follow what I'm saying? That's the neat thing about the receptor. It makes the chromosomes come. Because if a cell reproduces and the chromosomes aren't there, what's it going to be? A liver cell? A kidney cell? A toe? Skin? Eye? What's it going to be? If the chromosomes aren't there, cell don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it's going to be, we call it cancer. Okay? We call it cancer. Because in the absence of the chromosome, some viruses. Viruses mock up chromosomes, right? How do you think viruses work in the DNA? They go right in there, and there ain't no chromosomes around because you done blowing them away. You said the chromosomes take a walk, go down the road. So they did, because you put junk food, and you put drugs, and you put alcohol, and you put all kinds of stuff in your body. You got ELF in your body. Chromosomes don't want that. Them viruses sure do. So they bring in, the virus comes. He replicates. Chromosomes. They're good at it. They're getting better all the time, and the government's even helping them, so it makes it better.
Is that a resonance?
Let's make
thing?
A cancer cell. You know, let's make hepatitis C. What do you want to do tonight? Hell, with hepatitis C cancer? Let's do something original. Let's do malaria. You know, that's how it works. Get the picture now.
Yeah, partly.
The cell is not sitting still. It's like boom, boom, boom. It's like a nervous person, you know? If you're around somebody and that person makes you nervous because they got nervous energy, your cells are like that. And your cells don't stop. If your cells stop being nervous, you're dead. You're out of your body. So that something's got to feed those things. They got to make more cells. What are we going to make? Well, here, who's over here? Let's make good cells. DNA is here. Oh, DNA's not here. RNA is here. RNA can be mocked up by viruses. You know, so boom, let's make up some bad stuff. So you get the good stuff, and this is going on at 50 million times per second. You know? People just don't get it, do they?
That's what viruses do. They're just triggers for replication, aren't they?
Yeah. So you got to have... That's why, you know, we use receptors. That's why the paradigm's been around for 30 years with a concept that nobody could even grasp. And that's why even the FDA is interested in giving us some kind of an approval if I run my test. They don't know what's going on, but they have to acknowledge that it does do something, and they can't deny it. You know? I think life is interesting these days.
When can we, have you done any scientific tests on, like, any of your headgear or
lots of. We've done scientific
projector?
Tests all over the place. Now we're going to start organizing the tests.
I mean, you got to love this news thing. White House holds bird flu drill with military leaders. Warning, an outbreak may be inevitable.
Yeah, can you believe that? And it doesn't even exist. The bird and the human has not crossed viruses.
Here's the question. How do they know it's inevitable? You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you remember, and Don knows this well. You know, when I did this thing, well, it's been about 2 months now, hasn't it, Don, maybe a month and a half, since I went on the show. We did a special on the Tamiflu vaccine. I showed everybody that the cyclohexane is in there. It's part of, mixed it with the pyridine, it's angel dust, it's used for mind control. If you're not strong enough and aren't trained to process it, in other words, an alcoholic can drink a lot of booze and function. Somebody that doesn't drink like an alcoholic might drink the same amount and die. Same thing goes with cyclohexane. If you're trained by the KGB or something, you can process it. You know, it was developed as germ warfare.
Well, they just had a doctor. You know, there was a report on the TNT board that talked about a Vietnamese doctor in London that had quite a bit of experience treating the avian flu.
Yeah.
And he says Tamiflu, the drug being stockpiled for treatment of the avian flu, is useless against the virus.
Exactly.
Unquote.
It's a mind control substance and it kills kids. That's what it's doing. And if you're not strong enough mentally, in other words, you could take 10 people in a room and hand them 50 micrograms of LSD. 9 of them might have a perfect trip, and the other person might be impaired mentally for life. And that's just exactly what happens to people out there when they take the Tamiflu with a cyclohexane in it, or the cyclohexane on. And bottom line, I think there's 80 people that that ended up in mental institutions. Hey, Don, did I not predict this and broadcast to the world or not?
Oh, absolutely.
And totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm not bragging or pulling my own chain. I'm just saying, listen to what I say and go out and prove me wrong. Please, out there, you people listening, prove me wrong. You know? Nobody has so far.
You know what I don't
see? My mouth off.
You know,
yeah.
They really ought to get, because this would be the real beauty. If they had old George Bush and, of course, Clinton back up again saying we need to raise money for the bird flu, please send in money. Oh, please, 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 please. You know what I mean? I would love to see that, because that last one they did where all the money was absconded with,
yeah.
I mean, this would just be the icing on the cake.
I mean, how much money can these families spend? I mean, you realize they're addicted to the third rate. But see, what's happening now is the third ray is the Holy Ghost. There's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the female energy, is yin. And the world spends on yin. So what happens is now the money becomes cursed. That's real simple.
Now,
Not for us. We get it now. It's coming up. But the people, the dark force people that have had it, it's a curse.
Sure. And you know what?
Turns a green hole in their pocket.
Have you ever noticed what people aren't even thinking about is take a look at exactly which countries have this bird flu outbreak and who's crying the loudest. And you'll find, if you look at the countries that are actually screaming about this, are those same ones ruled and controlled by the same few. And Britain's just another one, because the other ones that are screaming the loudest besides the United States. But
yeah,
you don't hear it in most countries.
My favorite thing, this is my favorite thing of ignorance, okay, in the American public. This is what I say to the American public with their attention span. I'll never forget the two nights before George Bush shot that first, they put the first missile into that building starting the Iraqi war, the night before the first missile came and landed in there. He made a statement, and in that statement, I'll never forget it, it's in stone, and that was that we would take the Iraqi money, which, because Iraq is the richest oil fields in the world, and we would use that money, we would fix the country. We would fix the country. And we would fix, it would pay for the cost of the war. And
then they stole the money.
And so now China is loaning us the money to spend on Iraq. What is that all about? I mean, what more can you do to disrupt an economy of a nation in the future? Because this is how you destroy the economy. And that's what they want to do. And then people starve to death. Population control. Very simple. Very simple.
I mean, you're right. People don't get it. People think, even my folks, you know, when you start telling them the government has a plan, and it is one to absolutely and unequivocally put restrictions in place that limit our freedoms, that make us slaves, and that depopulate areas of interest for them, like the mineral-rich African countries.
Well, even Iraq's there's so much confusion over there. Tell me the oil wells are running 24/7 over there. The terrorists are trying to bust that out. Those oil wells are cranking out like crazy. Where's the money going? Might be Halliburton. Who knows, you know? that's obviously too obvious. No, it's going elsewhere. There's so much money coming out of Iraq right now, it's scary. Probably half of them is going to China. So they won't ask for interest or a payback, you know? Who knows? So anyway, what an interesting night. What's next? Any other questions out there?
I'm still here, and... I want to see what you're into with the Andromedan technology at the moment.
Well, that's coming right along. That's the big surprise. That technology, it does what it's supposed to do, and it's doing it quite well.
Well, what do you want to talk? You don't want to talk about what you're coming
up
with.
No, I don't
want
mind,
to talk about
but,
with
what
you've done.
When you compare the receptor to the projector, it's an entirely different area. You know what I mean? It's not the same
mental
thing.
Mental leap.
If people understood the projector now in the way that I could teach it, it would cause them to space out a little bit, and that wouldn't be good. Because they have to do their due diligence, and they need to learn their basic body system. So the projector technology, we've done a couple of shows in the archives on what it can do and how it works. But I'm not going to get real intimate with the details on it right now. I'm more interested in covering the receptor.
Yeah, we need to all step up, and we're just trying to come to grips with the Pleiadian technology.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the Pleiadian technology, if people don't like it, then throw your computers out, because Motorola had a couple of great channels over there, a couple of contactees that developed half the circuitry that's in the Pentium chip. So there's a lot of Pleiadian technology around us, but now it has to be focused on the human aura and the human body. And that's what we're doing.
Yep. Okay, I'll bring one of my last questions up, which is great. You've just answered about half a dozen questions, my whole list. Ether, and you never really mention ether, but you do say you use orgone-plated pyramids. So what's your theory on ether?
Pyramids are active and passive metals. They work like PNP junctions in a transistor. They actually have a current flow in them. So in one of those pyramids, there is a current flow set up by the brainwave frequencies that are in your brain. The output, it produces, we did cover this in a previous show. We talked about the ionic level and the three etheric levels of the human body. So what the pyramids do is they resonate through the orgone plating and the PNP junction type thing, a positive, negative, or electron to orbit junction within the metals themselves, creating a resonant field that then oscillates or talks to the brain. And then the brain starts to respond. For example, if you're toxic, most people have a toxic brain, the brain will start vibrating. And when it starts vibrating, it causes the arteries, the blood veins in the brain to start shaking, and that causes them to, you know, it's like if you had a rubber hose that never was twisted, and there was some iron built up in it, and then you twisted the hose, the iron would break up and it would come out. Well, the human brain is the same way. It's a form of plaque. It's not like plaque in the arteries. It's another form of plaque. It goes on in the brain, because remember, the brain is the source of electrolytes, so the pyramid causes that another kind of plaque be released. When that happens, it causes the liver to have to work a little extra hard, so you might get headaches from it when there's releasing processes taking place. And that's the whole thing about our pyramid series, from pyridomes to fire-domes to ray-domes to power-domes. All of those are
I haven't been getting headaches from that ray-dome. I move up?
Huh?
Shall I? I haven't been getting headaches from the ray-dome, and I wear it like non-stop.
Well, that's good. Try
a power dome
and see how you do with that. It's 100 times more powerful.
100 times the power dome, the gold or the
silver?
Silver.
Don't even waste your time with the gold. Not for what you're trying to do. You go right to a silver one.
All right. Talking about, what do you think about, like, sort of getting back to ether and antimatter? What's your, you agree with those?
before you gotta tell me what I'm supposed to agree with. You gotta explain it to me.
Okay. Do you agree with the theory of ether and?
Well, what is ether? What's the theory of ether? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I don't even fully understand it. Dark matter.
So if I gave you an answer, you wouldn't understand it anyway, because you don't understand the questions you're asking. That was trying. I'll just give you a little hint about ether, okay?
Yep.
If here's what, this is a little hint. This is all I'm going to do. And then you got to figure the rest out for yourself. The difference between me and you, and Don over there, who's probably taking a nap right now, is time. Okay? Time is the difference. We're all one unit. We're all one consciousness. The difference between Don and you and myself and everybody listening to us, all 14 or 15 listeners that haven't dropped out of boredom at this point, the only thing that's separating us is time. But consciousness isn't separating us. We're all pretty much tuned in to what we're talking about, and we wouldn't be listening, okay? So that's consciousness. So we have consciousness, and then we have our physical separation, and we have time. Time, we know, is a factor, like the previous guest was talking about time. But it's something that keeps us apart. Maybe time gives us a moment to have an experience so we can agree on. Maybe it's the agreement. We just can't quite agree with one another. And maybe if we all agree simultaneously, we'd be all one unit. And then there would be no distance. So time and space would disappear, right?
So I agree.
Here's what ether is. Okay? It's what separates all of it. There you go. Now you work on that. Now what's your next question?
Yeah.
Now you know what ether is. Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? Could have figured that one out in a minute.
I just understood ether as being dark matter.
What?
I understood ether as being the dark matter or the dark matter between.
I love this planet. God bless it. The dark matter.
Okay,
now is that like if you go to the bathroom and you have light matter and dark matter? What is dark matter? I want, first of all, what is dark matter? You're so matter of fact of what you say to me. What is dark matter?
Well, what's in space mostly, I think, and
warp
so you can have clumps
dark
of it.
Matter.
I don't know.
I love it. I'm not picking on you. I'm just having a blast with this. This is fun. Okay.
No, I'm just
warping
a student
space.
Like you.
Now, what is warping space? Is that like if I had a cupboard and it would hold three glasses and I want to put a fourth one in without breaking the other three, I would just warp space and it would fit? Does that make sense?
No, I don't know what you're talking about there. I think you meant to make no sense.
Huh?
And I think you meant to make no sense.
Warping space, dark matter. God, I got to go to school here more often.
Well, what makes up in between? There's got to be something in between.
To me, if I were coming from somewhere else, you said dark matter, that would to me mean any matter. That'd be any matter? Things that aren't created, that are created somewhere else? And then the unification of the two.
I know what you're talking about.
It's an observation that gives them power to manifest into one and becomes physical. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the spaces between, like, say, physical matter, like you might have more of Orgone, what's his name, that? Willem Reich. He's on Laura Lee's show. He's done a few shows there with.
Well, his daughter is a friend of mine, Ava. Is she out doing stuff now again?
I'm just going to try and find his.
Ava Reich. Yeah. She's really cool. She's a medical doctor. Insane.
Here it is. James DeMayo.
Beg your pardon?
James DeMayo. He's the one I've been listening to about.
Okay, I don't know of him. He's somebody else that's come along, probably.
Yeah, he follows Willem Reich's work, and he's been on Laura Lee's show a few times. He talks about the ether and
they work very hard. They learn layerism. They learned material structure. They're experts on it. I mean, they're really brilliant. Wilhelm was quite a guy.
Mm.
When you get into
but
the
he,
CNT
he gets into the ether.
It's a lot more than just that. It's a whole science. How things transmute from one level to another.
Yeah, well, that's what he's talking about, the life force.
The life force is nothing more than the animating force. And it, once again, that takes you back to that ether thing that I gave you a hint on. There's got a lot to do with life force than that.
Yeah, I'll have to re-listen to this show.
Now, let me know how what the answer is.
Okay, I'll let someone else get on. And,
okay, that'll be good, yeah.
Love you both and I'll, and everyone else. So, is there any way that I can give donations to Don to help you get the word out?
You know, I truly appreciate that, and I thank you for your kindness. But we're doing okay here, and you know, we're thank you, but we're doing okay. I do appreciate it, though. It's not that we make any money. We're just, you know, we really are a service to other endeavor. And what we're trying to say to people is there are people out there that just want to give everything they can, and they don't expect anything in return. And that's how we stand. And we just love you. And I thank you, and know that I do love you.
Yep. Thanks a lot. Love you, babe. I'll catch you later.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
So, are we clear now on the line?
We'll put them through.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Fred.
Hi. Who is this?
Hi, I gotta turn down my...
I can barely hear you.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, who am I talking to?
Cindy from Normal, Illinois.
Demi?
Cindy.
Cindy. How is Cindy doing tonight? From Illinois.
Right.
How'd you hear about our show?
Through the LifeWave patches and Dwayne Robbins.
Oh, good. Dwayne's doing his job.
Yeah.
I'll pull that contract off of him. He'll live another day. So what's Cindy up to tonight?
Well, first, I feel like I've really found a treasure in all the radio archives for you, and I've just started going through them. I listened to one three-hour show and then started with your first three shows, which I listened to, so I've got a lot to go through. And so if I ask a question that you've already talked about, I'll just get to it later.
I've got to get my cowbell out and all that stuff for these kind of questions, but I don't have anything here, so I'm unarmed tonight, so don't worry about it.
Okay. The first thing is I've heard Dr. Joel Wallach talk about copper and how if you are deficient in copper, you will have gray hair, you could get varicose veins, you're going to get a heart attack and to take copper. So my husband and I started taking copper.
And you got all the above.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I heard you say in one of your shows that do not, you know,
take copper. I won't say anything. I'll put it this way. I worked with Joel Wallach for a while. And I'm not working with Joel Wallach now. Copper, what it does, it's an amphoteric element like aluminum. And it can be an insulator and it can be a superconductor. And when you start playing around with that kind of energy in the body, it causes the body to go strange. It's like going down the road on a perfect nice day and you start swaying your car back and forth and see how far you can rock it back and forth before it tips over. And that's kind of what happens when you put copper in your body because there's too much there now. And it causes what I saw in my observations is it causes leukemia in children and from the parents that have too much copper. Cupuric, it's not something you really want to concentrate on. Is that what, were you trying to take more copper and for what reason?
For all the reasons that Joel Wallach said.
Well, all the reasons he gave are the reasons it'll cause.
Oh my gosh.
The explanation in the wrong place. What you should do is take trace minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know who you are. I just sense your energy, and you need trace minerals. I can tell it in your voice.
Really?
Yeah. 5% of your body is minerals. Trace minerals have strontium, vanadium, titanium, million different iniums, and there's like 92 major and about 200 minor trace minerals, and you need to take those. I make a trace mineral. The history of trace minerals is very simple. at the turn of the century, people lived to be 50 years old, usually dying from pneumonia as a complication of arthritis. That was the Europeans mixing with the Indians here. And the Indians up in Utah, there was a retired geologist up there that made friends with the Indians up there, and he was going to die the normal way, and they threw him in a stream, and he got well. And, well, what happened? And he went up the stream to the well, the artesian well where the water came from, and he saw the red clay. He looked at the red clay and found there was trace minerals in it. The trace minerals allowed his body to function like it should. You know, the strongest biochemical thing you can put in your body for any ailment is trace minerals. And then from there, you have a foundation. When you have a foundation, now you can play around because you don't have a foundation. And I can tell that, and you're just going from one thing to the other, and you're getting, yeah, you're getting results, but you can't really, you know, document what they are, and they may not be so good sometimes. Start out with trace minerals. We make one called Purilo. If you don't want to get it from us, find it from somewhere else. But the guy that I get them from, Hub, who makes them for me, his grandfather is the one in the story. And so I always work with a source of something, and big business out there, I realize, but it also works. The trace minerals is where you need to start.
Mm-hmm.
That sound like a good idea?
Yeah. Okay. A couple more questions. Well, to bring it back a little farther, I met Dwayne Robbins through Stephen Haltwanger, and
yeah.
I met him through Tim Bolin.
Okay.
I'm helping a guy by the name of Michael Forrest, who is in jail right now for making and selling electronic medical devices that were non-FDA approved, like Dr. Hulda Clark zappers, Dr. Bob Beck blood electrifiers, and four different types of Rife machines.
Right.
And Dr. Stephen Haltwanger wrote up a really nice report in defense of Michael Forrest, but one of the things the governmental side has said was weak is specifically, we need a doctor to specifically write what different devices can do what for cancer, for CFIDS, for all these different types of things. And with the people that listen to your show, I wondered if there was anyone out there who knew of a doctor who would have an MD behind their name who could do this. Dr. Haltwanger is just too busy. He's going to be out of town for 3 months or something like that, and had offered to be the expert witness in this case, but just couldn't do it because of time. So he ended up writing a 300-plus page report in defense of Michael Forrest's devices, which is wonderful and a lifesaver. But just to Friday, the public defender that's defending Michael said that the government side said that this part of his case is weak.
To answer your question, I spent 20 years with the National Health Federation, and I've seen this too many times. The National Health Federation was started when Fred Hart and Thomas Colston, in 1947, invented a thing called the Depolaray machine, which got rid of arthritis. And it was a 44 megahertz infrared source that they had channeled from an extraterrestrial source that made this thing work. And the FDA came in and closed them down. There was no FDA then, but the government closed them down. And they started the National Health Federation, which goes out and protests. So what you need to do is get a hold of the National Health Federation up in Monrovia, California. And just email me, at fredbell@paradigm.com. I'll send you the proper information for the right attorneys, because I know how this case is going to go. And no, getting a testimony of a medical doctor is useless. You've got to deal with the pros that deal with it. And it's a big battle, and
uh-huh.
and you're starting to realize the viciousness. And I lived 20 years with it. We had two people. One guy named Quentin Miller. He's still around. We had him in Congress. We had two people living in Washington D.C. in Congress lobbying daily on these issues. That's how strong I fought this. What we did get out of this is we allowed you people, myself included, to go down to the health food store and get vitamins that weren't made by a drug manufacturer that could be made by anybody, and freedom of health choices. That's what the NHF did. But that's what you're going to have to deal with on a case like this. It's the only body of energy behind the scenes that has any power at this point in time.
Okay. Another thing is if we could get somebody told me that the AMA, not the AMA, the FDA, has a mission, part of their mission statement or goals was that if there was a great amount of interest in any type of medical therapy, that they're supposed to fund research for that. And we have not been able to find the place where that's written. And if we find that, that would help tremendously. So if any of your listeners have heard of that, I'd love to get that information.
Yeah, that's good. What I have learned with government work is that you need to work smooth with the government people. Anytime you're trying to get something positive accomplished, it has to be done through relationships. Tests have to be done, too. You can do all the tests, prove everything to be 100% true. If you don't have the relationship, it won't pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to have the feeling. It's a compound situation. So bottom line is, you don't make medical claims. What I always tell people about my devices, for example, like the nuclear receptor, and that is, and my vitamins and my trace minerals, they don't do anything to your body. Your body does it itself. If they only open up gateways so that your energy, your natural life force, can start to work unimpeded. And the FDA accepts that. And that's the only, and it's the truth. That is a truth that nobody can deny. And that's the way things have to be explained.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep on that path, you won't have a problem with them. But a lot, what I see with the government especially, FDA especially, is ego gets involved. A scientist gets out there. He's got something that does allow the body to do something maybe quicker than normal. He's got a very great device based on some earlier work before there was a governing body of medicine. And so his exuberance allows him to get himself into trouble. So what happens is a lot of great inventions are held back by the inventors themselves. And if you put yourself in the place of the FDA, and they're paid for by the tax dollar, you know, this is an uncorrupt FDA now. They want to make sure that when you go down to the grocery store and you buy meat, that there's not some, you know, bacteria growing from the bone out. So that was what they were put up. They were originally, you know, meat inspectors in packing houses back in the 40s. That's where it all started. But the bottom line is there's a human element here. And what my sorrow is in all of this, that on both sides of the fence, and I'm not, you know, prejudiced either side, if people just slow down and just get themselves out of the mix and look at how they would look the presentation to be to someone else, we wouldn't have these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. So we got to look at that. I hope everybody out there gets my drift tonight, because it's true. And I've had to eat, you know, I had to slow down a lot myself. I have come up with so many inventions over the years, and I had to slow down. Even when I worked in NASA, you know, there's somebody above you in a department, and you have an idea better than theirs. You got to go through them to get your idea to out there, and it might be their idea by the time it gets seen. And just get used to it, because the bottom line is, who cares? The idea was good. It doesn't matter where it really came from. The idea was good. Because I don't have ideas, you don't have ideas, they come from somewhere else. It's like the collective. And when people start thinking in consciousness about the collective, it makes life a lot better. And these kind of problems like he's going to have to deal with now will go away. But bottom line is, to solve this immediate issue, National Health Federation, Monrovia, California, send me an email.
Okay.
I'll hook you up. There's a couple other people that have spun off and got things going, too.
And your email, I sent you an email a couple days ago, but I don't know if you got it or not.
Fred Bell at Paradigm.com.
Yeah, that's what I used, Fred Bell. Okay.
Yeah, it's very simple. I'm easy to reach.
Okay. That's it.
I'm not the person out there, because I only got, you know, like, I think 35 listeners now, so I'm cool. I can handle 35 emails.
Okay. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have nothing to do anyway.
I'm sorry.
What?
You always crack me up. I love you.
Are you sure?
Okay,
is that a proposal? The answer is no. we got questions. No more questions coming in now?
I don't know. I'm sure there is. This thing, it's been...
Is that one of those experimental things called a telephone?
Well, we'll just wait and see if somebody wants to jump on.
Well, I'll talk about herbs for a minute then.
All righty.
Okay. Herbs.
Maybe we should give out the 800 number real quick.
Yeah, you have it? Give it out.
Folks, if you'd like to call in to talk about... Oh, well, there you go. I'll put them through.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Who's
calling? Dr.
Ahead?
Fred.
Yeah, hi.
I'm on my cell phone. I can just hear you, but...
Who are you, anyway?
Pardon?
What's your name?
Oh, my name is Al.
Hi,
I'm
Al,
from Illinois.
Where are you calling from besides your cell phone? Where's your cell phone located right now?
I'm in Illinois, Fred.
Oh, good. Must be nice and warm out there tonight, huh?
Yeah, it's not as bad as it was, but...
Shoveling a little snow?
A little snow on the ground, yes, sir.
Okay. What's your question?
My question...
Yeah.
My question tonight, Dr. Fred, is I'm wanting to get into receptor technology, but
yeah.
I'm having trouble coming up with the color.
Yeah? What's your problem? How are you coming up with a problem? How can you have a problem with that?
Well, I mean, off of the chart that I printed off the computer. And
what did you come up with?
Well, using the... finger over the color, I just couldn't quite get the pressure difference to figure out what color might be appropriate to start with.
Can I suggest a color for you?
You may.
Sapphire, blue.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the color you need. Save you some steps.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, you like blue?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm from Michigan, gold blue.
Uh-huh.
No, but you really need blue. You need some work in your heart. Your heart chakra needs some work. How's your circulation and your blood pressure?
Blood pressure is probably pretty good. It hasn't been tested for a while, but the last time it was pretty good.
Yeah. How's your weight versus your height?
Normal.
Good. And how's your energy level?
I would say somewhere in the middle. I'm not high, but I'm not low.
Yeah, that'll be good. And what are you? Are you a vegetarian? Are you a heavy meat eater? What do you do for diet?
I'm not a heavy meat eater anymore, but, excuse me. I'm trying to, excuse me, slow down on some of the meat and get into more of a vegetarian style. But.
Yeah, what you need to do, the reason I'm suggesting that is because you need to get into unsaturated oils. Your body has plaque, and you need to get into... Do you have a history of heart problems in your family at all?
My father died of a heart attack, but...
That's all, yeah. And the reason I analyzed you is because of your voice, the quiver in your voice. I'm sensitive to vibration. You're fine right now, but you need to get into unsaturated fats and oils, okay? You need to start taking flaxseed oil, vitamin E, PC lecithin, all the different oils that they have in the health food store. And we're going to have those on our website pretty soon, by the way. The first year I'm going to be putting all this stuff up where you guys can get it. But you need
currently taking omega-3.
Yeah, omega-3
fatty
is good. That's not enough, though.
Yeah.
It's not enough, but it's good. But you got to, Omega-3 is providing, an oil. What oils do is they work in the cell and they balance the electricity. They're like insulators. If electricity is balanced, those electrons will fly in and blast that plaque off your arteries like you can't believe.
Uh-huh.
But you got to have the oil to make the plus and minus charges insulate to get the energy up. If you don't have insulation, the charges collapse on themselves. You don't get a field in your body, electrical field. Yeah, you're okay now. I just see the future for you. Yeah, you need a sapphire. Later on,
okay. We're
going to get you, you'll graduate into a ruby. And you're going to feel the difference because once you get a constant feeling going all the time, that's good. That means your central nervous system is hooked back up and they'll start dealing with this plaque and stuff. It's just in the beginning stages of it,
Uh-huh.
That's good. You're doing fine. Glad you called in, by the way. Any other questions?
I believe that's all for tonight.
Yeah, did you get my book yet, Rays of Truth?
I haven't ordered it yet, no, sir.
Yeah, now, how did you hear about me anyway? Were you committed to a mental institution and you heard that there was this nut down the lockdown named Fred Bell, or how did you hear about me?
Not exactly. First on Coast to Coast, and then, of course, from the blogging service here lately.
Okay, so what do you think, blog? Is Don doing okay with that, or you, we should?
He's doing great. I've been listening all evening long to all the shows from 7 o'clock on. So.
What's your comment on the shows, per se?
How
did you like them overall? Were they good?
Yeah, they're very interesting. I find it a lot better than watching television.
Yeah. Would you recommend this network of nuts to your friends?
Yes, I will. I'm currently trying to get my brother-in-law, who is likes to listen to alternative programs, and currently trying to get him to listen. So.
Okay, then you're a very rare listener, because normally my listeners don't have any friends.
Oh.
So I applaud you for having a friend. Don, did you hear that? We have a caller who has who's a listener who has a friend.
I like it.
Yeah, that's really good.
You know, we can use all the friends we can.
Yeah.
We can get.
God, friends are coming now. Yeah.
I listen to your show on Saturday and also on the Tuesday night shows.
Yeah, what I'm gonna start doing is I'm gonna start putting up an 11 o'clock at night show, based on my earlier work. There's going to be a lot of really cool stuff in there, because a lot of the earlier work has a lot of research behind it, which I don't even remember anymore because I'm senile and everything now. But so the 11 o'clock show is going to be good. The Tuesday night show is going to be a little more lively. And then the Saturday night show, when I do them, is going to be like Saturday night show, all screwed up, but live. So anyway, that's kind of what our schedule is like. And I guarantee I won't do all the Saturday night shows. I've been doing two or three in a row here lately. I don't know why, but people keep bugging me, so I've been doing them. But I'm glad you're calling in, and Illinois is a good state, so I'm glad you're getting a nice moon tan tonight.
Okay, well, you keep up the good work. I'll let somebody else get in.
All right, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Don, are you calling in?
I'm here.
Oh, good. So anyway, I guess I'll talk about herbs for about.
Didn't you say that once before?
Well, it's okay, because I really didn't want to talk about them anyway tonight. But basically, I will, because what I wanted to get across, you know, is just a very quick thing. You know, and this neat thing about all of this is because, you know, the listeners are starting to understand the science that I'm trying to explain here. You know, I've been reading my Pleiadian book and trying to explain it from the book, because it's not coming from me. The bottom line is Ayurvedic medicine and herb technology has to do with disorder. Humans, once God gave humans the freedom to, you know, that's God being us, my book, but once we gave ourselves freedom to do whatever we want, kind of lost it at some point. And in the process of losing it, we imparted certain kinds of energies out to all kingdoms of the world, including nature. And nature, being close to God, like the Pleiadians, you know, the Pleiadians, the Semiotics, 60% of our time is spent in nature, and being doing horticultural things, because that's like being next to nature, being next to God. Somehow or other, nature took man's misfailings and created plants that probably grew up in the distortion of his distorted DNA and expression. And these plants looked at this contorted thing, and as they came out of the ground, and they said, oh, my God, you know, here I come to the sun. And I was planted by the seed of man, because man is God, and they're I'm a little warped. You know, I'm just not getting the natural flow of the dirt and the air and the water and all that. Just sort of warped here. So I'm going to compensate for this. I see how I think I should be. I'm just a plant. I don't know much. But I think that I'm going to compensate my genetics, and I'm going to grow myself out of this ground, out of this hole where there's darkness, into the light. I'm going to embrace the sun. And I'm going to do that in such a way that I'm going to create harmony. And so we had all these different kinds of plants, these volatile oil plants. We had these saponin plants, like ginseng. And we had all these tannin plants, and all these different kinds of plants. Basically, they were probably like the human races. There's Hispanics, there's African Americans, there's Chinese. You know, they're just different species of the herb, of life, you know, and their own expression. I think the plants were kind of getting the idea from that. And so the plants grew up, and they grew into the sun, and they got a common denominator. And out of that common denominator, I think it was like love. You know, I think love is the closest expression. If somebody asked me to define God, I could only say the ultimate attraction, love. That's the only way I could explain God. That would be my way of doing that. So, but the, you know, the plants broke it down into these different things, these alkaloids and, you know, all these different things that are properties of the herb. And so what happens is the Ayurvedic people, they saw, you know, the medicine, the doctors of old time, looked at these distortions in the human character, and they found that they could go out in the garden and they could find these different plants that, when applied to the distortion, caused the distortion to harmonize. And you had a common denominator with love, with God. And I think that's kind of how Ayurvedic medicine started, at least from my standpoint. And that goes back a lot longer than the age of this planet, the Earth. When you look at how it works, you know, electronically, the best way, you know, when you start to learn medicine, you start to learn about life and the body, you got to start with something, whether it's a cell, you know, the hand, you know, what you got to start with, the skin, the color of your eyes, you know, the smell of your odor, whatever. I always start people with the electron, the proton, because that's how I started here in this world. It's the electron, the proton. This proton is this charged thing. It's got a positive charge. Being it attracts unto itself. It weighs 1,600 times mass. Someday we get into the Higgs field, and I explain what mass and charge comes from to give something mass, but that's another story. It is 1,600 times harder than this electron whirling around out there. And the electron's moving slightly, you know, we call it the speed of light, but there is no speed of light. The only speed of light is that through the ether that we were talking about earlier, man has perceived a moment of a photon going from one place to the next, and he gave it a speed. But there is no speed. Light is instantaneous. Because if there was a speed of light, my consciousness comes from light. If I'm moving around, I'm limited by that speed. So if I become invisible here and materialize on the Pleiades 10 seconds later, I've just violated natural law. So that doesn't really work. So the electron is moving around the proton at what man calls the speed of light. And it stops. And it stops and it shakes. And when it shakes, it shakes little particles out. These things are called leptons and quarks. And these little particles are like pepper and salt, you know, and they have taste and flavor and sugar and charm and up and down, and all this kind of stuff science calls them. And so what happens is, herbs have that built in. So different kinds of herbs have this ability to stop the electron in their hydrogen atom as it rotates in the hydrogen atom. Everything is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. In the hydrogen atom, this herb can stop this thing, this little flaky thing. And if you look at a person that's full of anger, their personality, their DNA has a certain energy to it, and their electrons are stopping and shaking and doing funny things. And that pattern, if I identify that pattern with, say, slippery root as an herb, and it's an opposite, that the person that's angry has this pattern of stopping your electrons and making a certain kind of shake of energy come out of it in a negative way, and I bring up an herb that does it in a positive way, what you get is a cancellation. The cancellation gives you one electric spark that allows the consciousness of centering, of reaching out from the depths of the earth, the bowels of the earth, and darkness into the light. That exchange, which causes a creation of friction, a thing called love, flow through the body. Then you begin to understand herbs. So I wanted to keep it kind of like cosmic tonight, and I will explain the pragmatics of it later. This was the secret of Ayurvedic medicine, understanding this. And that's why, for example, when we had the people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki go out and be near the atomic bomb, people up close to the blast of those bombs going off, getting a very poor, huge amount of radiation and not much of an effect from it. It didn't really hurt them. And people 30 miles or 40 miles away, that was a long, you know, that's a big bomb in those days, getting major effects. Why people close to the bomb
didn't have very little effect. Some, of course, a lot of them did. Some didn't. And why people far away had a huge effect, negative. Why these people up front didn't have a negative effect? That's because we found they had electrolytes. And in the electrolytes, we found that they were people that took both thiaginsing and gotu-kola. And these herbs have a particular dancing pattern on their electrons that allow the body to be very strong. And therefore, take this, you know, radiation from a bomb is called ionizing radiation, meaning it's giving off an alpha, beta, gamma ray particle. Some kind of particle is coming. This particle is going to jump into your electron-proton relationship and cause a distortion. But if you have photiaginsing and gotu-kola in, that particle comes in, but instead of causing a distortion, it causes a merry dance. It gets to go into a dance because there's a happy dance going on because everybody's feeling love. And I'm trying to keep this a little lighter than scientific tonight so people can get a better grasp of what I'm talking about. Are you understanding a thing I'm saying, Don, or are you just completely out there in space tonight?
Both.
Huh?
Both.
Both, huh? Yeah. That's what herbs do. And what in the coming months, we're going to talk about individual herbs in these shows, and we're going to marry them to the different receptor effector technology, because you know we're making a difference now, and the world's starting to feel what we're doing, and that's really good. It's really amazing, and I'm already starting to see effects from the people that are wearing the receptors and using this technology and this other stuff that we're doing. And they're also finding their own way. And that's why from now on, when you call in, you might get quizzed before you get an answer. You know, so I'm probably will scare all the callers away, but I think a few of them will come back. You know what I mean? So that's basically what I wanted to say about herbs tonight. You know, I don't want to get too heavy with them. I just want people to think about how they work. And the fact is that strange how these hundreds of species of herbs can be applied to the body to create hundreds of things. And even things like foxglove, you know, which makes people that have heart flutters and you know, which drugs, a lot of drugs, you know, in drug companies are made, pharmacies use herbs too to make their drugs because they recognize the effect of what that herb can do, but the reason they make a drug out of an herb is because people are so dense, they're so full of vibration of meat and alcohol and tobacco and other things that with that density of mass, the essence of a person, you know, Ayurvedically, maybe 2,000 years ago using that, would not be subject to the amount of pollution they were, you know, then there was no pollution like we have now. So therefore, the herb would produce a drug-like or a good effect. But there's so much pollution to buy, that poor herb can't do anything, so they have to concentrate it, and the process of concentrating it to penetrate all the effects of the poisons and toxins our body, you know, are dealing with. Then they get a drug-like effect. They do get an effect. So some drugs, like foxglove, you know, are not detrimental, but actually helpful. But there's so many, when we get into the MOA inhibitors and all the things that, you know, that increase the... they put your brain to sleep so that your brain's not aware of the pain that your body's producing, which is big business. That has really darkened the medical world of some good things that they've actually done. That's kind of unfortunate because people have a tendency to categorize, you know, things good or bad. But there are some wonderful things that pharmacies have come up with and drug companies. But, I mean, on a scale of 10, there's probably down like 0.5, versus the other 9.5 is junk. So anyway, that's my thought for the day. Have you got a thought for the day, Sidekick?
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. These medical companies, that the problem is the good that they've done. You know, when I look at things, some of the great technologies that have come out and some of the great medicines that have come out.
Penicillin, for example.
Yeah, they you know, they ruin it with And it's a shame because of all the deception and the deceit behind it all.
Greed, called greed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But they really have. There has been a lot of wonderful and miraculous breakthroughs in medicines and technology.
Yeah, like quinine for malaria.
Yeah.
You know, quinines are great for malaria. It goes away. Those are wonderful things. Yeah. I mean, I can go all the other way, but that's true. That's very true. So, anyway, that was a fun night, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were, I remember you were going to speak a little about, I forget what the heck we were talking about.
The sidekick got wow.
Sidekick. I'm stumped.
Again, baby. What do you want me to talk about? All right.
You talk a little, you know what would be interesting?
Yeah.
Talking about that new technology, well, I don't know whether you want to talk about that new technology you're looking to come out with.
What's that?
It's something to do with the new healing machine.
Oh, the X1.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's neat. Well, there's a couple of things that we'll get to eventually. The X1 healing machine, the T1, the one thing I really like to talk about, this is the very first time I ever did the Art Bell show, I talked about my T1 time machine, how it works, how the time machine works on cells, how it works on molecules, you know, how it works on organs in the body, the actual effect of time travel on the human anatomy. That's a good topic. We won't do that tonight, but that's one that, because people aren't ready for that, and Art Bell wasn't ready for it, and I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. You know, he wanted the sci-fi version of it. I like to show how it really works, how it's possible and how it's fun, but it's actually disoriented. That's one of the topics that we'll get to. The X1 healing machine is in my book, and basically what it does, it produces a complete series of stimulus in the body that completely identify with all of the stimulus. You know, if you took a piece of clay and you take a pencil and you start punching a bunch of holes in it, pretty soon the clay has got a bunch of holes for the pencil. That's the way your cells are from stress and toxins. And then after a while, the cells are so hammered by the outside environment, and sometimes the inside environment, if you're not living a clean life, you're living in denial, for example, versus truth, this ends up producing some strange behavior cells and a whole lot of anatomy changes that you really don't want. So what the X1 healing machine does is it identifies all of those quirks that are inside of you, from your spirit to your form, you know, from all the way from spirit to matter. And what it does is it suggests maybe we should do this, maybe you should do that, we should do that, in such a way that doesn't intimidate the actual ego of the cell structure itself, because the cells themselves have a huge ego, and that's why they're so vulnerable to viruses. And that's another subject. I haven't even got into the ego of the cell. That's a whole other thing. You know, people try to think that, you know, there's a thing called characterization of bodies. Benton teaches stuff. And there's a reason why you have a body the way it looks and shapes, and there's a reason for that, because your soul is attracted to that energy. And you got to learn to communicate with that body. And some people like their body, sometimes people hate their body. And you got to learn how to alter that relationship and make it work. And that deals with what's called the ego of the cell. And so most people don't realize, they look at themselves as having an ego, you know, overall. But then what's yourself? It's a bunch of cells. So rather than trying to deal with the ego of the whole body, you might try just dealing with the ego of one cell. Maybe you might break it down to the atomic structure. Then you get that fixed. Then you can multiply that healing process or that balancing process and get it all working again. So we got to get people into micro-macro understandings of how the anatomy works, you know, and consciousness. Consciousness works that way, too. So there's a lot of subjects to cover in the future, but, you know, these are... Well, we haven't even done anything yet, you know. When you go to school in the Pleiades, it's 120 years, because you got a lifespan of 1,500. And in 120 years, you get about 15 PhDs, you know, and then they graduate. And my teacher, Sannyasi, had those degrees. And, you know, I didn't have any of theirs, but she spent she spent 20 years with me hammering me on however many degrees she had and what she knew and what I understand now from Billy Meyer. She was quite almost like a priestess of science or something. And I'm very honored to have had her as my teacher. And all these subjects that I cover and all the depth, like tonight I got a little bit lighter and I got a little into it a little bit more. I can go as far as you want, but the bottom line is, I don't know really what I'm talking about. From 1 minute to the next, I don't know what I'm going to say. I know what I know, which is nothing in the scheme of things. I'm a student. I'm a professor of nothing but ignorance. That's why my first book was called Death of Ignorance. But I have learned one thing, and I have learned to ask a question and get an answer within milliseconds by knowing how to answer it. There's a certain way I just do that, and I get the truth. And I think that's what Sannyasi taught me. She didn't teach me her wisdom of all those degrees. She taught me the secret of how to access that knowledge and where to go. And it's not the ultimate thing. It's just something that's floating around. Because, my God, when you get into the Andromedans with this holographic stuff, I mean, we talk about the hologram, but when you see what it is and what it does and the magnificence of it, you start to relate that to the Shiva Kalpa and the different, Kali Yuga, the Yugas of the Tibetans and the Brahmins, and you realize that the Treta Yuga and the Kali Yuga and the Dwarpa Yuga, they're like billions of years in between, and how that consciousness works. And she's taking me out and showing me this stuff. So it's like when we're talking about a cell and this and blah, 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 and the scheme of things, it's so minuscule, but at the same time, it is the scheme of itself.
Dr. Bell?
Yeah.
I there's a lady online with you, do you remember what I was saying to you, ma'am?
Yes.
Didn't I say, as soon as you get on, you got to interrupt them?
Yes, you did. Yes,
you know, I actually was just going to wait back and just see how long you were going to stay on without interrupting him. And you've been pretty diligent. I'm surprised. You've had an innocent bystander for
quite some time. Oh, my God, those are
dangerous.
That's a dangerous bystander.
Well,
an innocent bystander is like a trained hitman. Yeah, what's your name, dear?
Cindy again from Normal, Illinois.
Oh, you're calling in again?
Yeah, since other people aren't calling in, I thought I'd...
Yeah, they're really... Yeah, that's okay. I guess I've made everybody... You're probably the only person on the air. But go ahead. What's your question?
Well, a couple of them. One, I've been watching chemtrails down here. They hit us almost daily. And
yeah, bromine. Bromine.
Yeah, and have been doing it for years, and there's a person in Winona whose his whole family has almost died, and he's been real sick. And what can I tell people in the Bloomington Normal area that we see the chemtrails daily, and some days it's really thick and some days it's a little lighter? And I know about the Carnicom website and a bunch of other Will Thomas and a bunch of other websites, but they just won't see it. I mean, even when I give them the stats, like they're supposed to be 70% humidity or more in order for chemtrails to form, and chemtrails need to form, and you know, when it's cold, and you know, in the middle of summer, well, like if the humidity's higher. Anyway, even with a spray plane going and another plane at the same level, they still don't see it. What can I say to convince them?
What are they trying to see?
Well, I want the spraying to stop, and it's never going to stop unless enough people see that there's a problem.
First of all, you have to realize what you're up against. Do you know what chemtrails are?
Well, definitely pollution. I heard one of your things where you talked about JP5678 and the additives that they put in the fuel, but I think it's more than that, unless the stuff that they're finding.
It's bromide. There are all kinds of bromine derivatives. It's the most powerful attacker of any kind of cell there is, bromide. You know, did you take high school chemistry?
Yes, but it wasn't one of my better classes.
Well, didn't they introduce you to a glass flask inside of another glass flask? In other words, a jar inside of a jar, and say this is bromide?
Not that I remember.
Yeah,
that
well, they should have, but that's what's in the chemtrails, bromine, bromide.
Well, there's a lot more than that.
That's the ultimate. There's nothing. There's many ways of presenting it.
So, what can my friend do to get healthy again? He feels like he's been nerve gassed.
From what we do here at Paradigm is we make a a thing called a nuclear receptor, and that causes the DNA to start firing at a different level. So it's like, you know, when you work out, you need protein to build muscle mass. We make a mineral and a vitamin formula to supplement the need that your body will have once you start using the receptor technology, which allows your body to process. You're never going to reject bromine or bromine. You're going to process it. You have to process poisons. You have to teach your body how to do that. And so this will allow you to start processing poison. That's the only way there is to it. You can't walk into this stuff and live in it and say you're not going to process it, because you are. But if you don't process it properly, you're going to die. And if you process it properly, you're going to excel from it. Not only can you get high off of it, you can want more. But it's an education process to your cells, because your cells really don't know good from bad. They know harmony and disharmony. So if your cells were harmonizing and made out of steel, they'd work. If your cells were made out of cyanide, it would work, because all you're trying to do with a conglomerate of all your cell structures is to make them host your consciousness without your consciousness being drained by the life force that feeds the cells, right? So it doesn't really matter what they're made up of. So don't worry about that. People try to think that their cells have to be made up of whatever, you know, a certain amount of silicon, a certain amount of this, that, certain compounds. Forget it. What you want to do is make your cells work in harmony and process. And we call that, in the receptor world, we call that auric offset. And you need to, so what you need to do is just teach your cells how to process all these poisons, so then chemtrails won't matter. But chemtrails started out as a process of, you know, the chemicals in the JP numbers in the fuel, was to allow the viruses that would grow, the bacteria that would grow in these fuel tanks, in these high-flying jets, when it's 50 degrees below zero, to not make the engines quit, call the flame out. That's how it all started. It got creative later. Bottom line is, it's very creative now. You know, like when I was in the National Health Federation, we had to go into cities and stop malathion spraying for med flies. What does the med fly do? Nothing. What does malathion do? Causes you to become sterile. It causes birth control. But look at what it's all about. Learn how to process it. Fight the cartel, forget it. You might as well go over there and tomorrow and stop the, you know, show where the money of the Iraqi oil is going. it's useless to address these cartels. They stand behind each other's backs. What's important is to make you process all of this stuff yourself, and then when you become self-processing of all these toxins and poisons, you turn them into something good, it spreads like a plague. These cartels disappear. You know, they die in their own mucus. That's how you got to look at it. You can't give it an attitude behind it. You just got to let it go and understand, use wisdom, and it all works perfectly then. We're not up against a wall. The wall, we just become invisible. We walk right through it. But let everybody think that we're up against the wall. That gets their adrenaline going, and that's the first step. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay, well, that's it for now for me. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Bye-bye.
Well, ma'am?
Yes?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there was somebody who brought that question, your very question, up before. And this may or may not work. I think Dr. Bell is absolutely right. I mean, it really, you're going to have to learn to deal with it. So are the people there. There's really no way you can stop these criminals. They're going to slowly dissipate and go down to the wayside and end up in their own muck and mire. And I agree with Dr. Bell. You need to figure out ways to be able to live with it, process it, and even feed on it. But, you know, you might want to try, if they're quite sick, get your neighbors together, and I don't know how spiritual your neighbors are, but get a group of at least 10 people together, get outside, get down on your knees, and get into a meditation and ask, and I don't know how far out you are, because this is going to sound quite far out to a lot of people, but get down on your knees and get into a meditation and ask for the higher service to other entities to work their magic in cleaning up the pollution and ask for sylphs in particular. You know, you've heard of sylphs, correct?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I have. That's what
okay. When you see them, and I've seen them plain as day, and I've seen...
S-Y-P-H-S.
S-Y-L-P-H-S, correct. And I've seen them. I've seen them eat. I've seen them move around against the wind. I've seen them in the strangest places. I am a 1,000% believer in them. And I've seen them do their trick. Now, the reason people don't see them is they're not used to seeing them, and they can't distinguish them. But when you get used to it, you can start to distinguish what they are. And if you get a group of people that actually call for them, I believe you can actually create a situation there just by sheer will that could manifest itself into a cleanup crew of sylphs. And I've heard it being done. I haven't done that myself in a group setting, but I've heard it being done. I've heard of individuals that have called on them and that they've noticed them appearing in mass and cleaning up their skies. So it's something to try.
I will see if I can get enough people to try that. I do have a chemtrail buster that we made, and it does work. It's amazing.
Well, exactly. You just kind of gonna have to work through the situation and do the best you can, because trying to beat these people that really have no light within them and very little anyways, they're appealing to their greater sense of good or their greater sense of humanity is a trick, and it's just not going to happen overnight. So, the best way is exactly like Dr. Bell says, and I'm sure he has some products, that would be probably quite advantageous for your body to help reduce and even minimize or get rid of these poisons. So you might want to look into that too.
Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about this, that brings up another subject. The chemtrail buster, does Dr. Bell, do you know about those? And what do you, there's a mix of opinions on whether or not it's good or bad for the environment to be using
what?
Them. The chemtrail busters. You want me to explain how to make one?
The control what now?
They're called chemtrail busters, and they help.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and explain it.
Okay. The base is made out of organic and inorganic materials, so like a mix of resin and metal.
Right.
Good. You put it in a plastic bucket. You have six copper holes or pipes. In the copper pipes, you put them in a circular shape inside the resin. You have a bottom on the top, on the bottom of copper pipes. You put one double-sided quartz crystal in each of the ends of the pipes, and you point the pipes upward and keep them separated in a very even position around in a circle in a bucket. And once you put that together and you put it out in the yard somewhere, it clears up the sky pretty well.
Yeah, those are argon cowbusters. Yeah, I understand
yes.
that.
Yeah, okay.
That's an old technology. It's been around a while. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
We have a device called an irradiator that will do that, too. You just aim it at the sky. It's a big, tall thing. You see it on our website. It's about 6 feet tall. It's just on top of a megorb. You put it on a plastic plate. You put two quartz crystals in the bottom of it, two local stones. And you connect a power supply to it, aim it at whatever, and it disappears. Matter of fact, it's introduced in the beginning of my book, where I had four of them set out, and we caused the lightning bolts, four lightning bolts in three sequences. One to hit the ocean, hit the beach, and hit a neighbor's roof and blow his roof off. And, it happened. And matter of fact, a neighbor came up to my house one day. We were talking in a group because he was a New Age person, and we were talking about that, and he says, "That was my house you blew the roof off of." That's all in the beginning of my book. Yeah, I'm familiar, totally versed with that. No problem. That'll work just fine.
Okay.
And we've been doing that for years. But the main thing is, that's not a big deal. I know it's big to a lot of people that have, they don't know what's going on, they're afraid of it, but the main thing is to get your body working. To me, chemtrails is nothing. You know, when you get your body working, you go out and you start, if you had a flying carpet, you'd go up there and smell them in yourself. Remember that the Martian movie with Jack Nicholson in it. What was that? Mars Attacks. Mars Attacks.
Uh-huh.
We send the missile up, and it blows up by the alien spaceship, and they send out this pipe, and it sucks the whole thing in, the whole nuclear explosion. And you see these guys taking hits off the pipe inside, which is this bomb that's inside this pipe. You know, comical. That's kind of what we do with that kind of energy. That's a minuscule energy for us. I mean, it's big to a lot of people, but you can fix that really fast by doing your personal environment. And the irradiators will do the rest if you want to just knock those trails down. You can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
How's my sidekick?
Kicking.
Yeah, you didn't know our... Yeah, we've dealt with those. We clear the skies here all the time. You know, it's really interesting because NASA... Lockheed Skunk Works, 2 years ago, they started working with my irradiators to do some interesting research down in Huntsville. And I don't know if they're doing weather control, because we can make lightning bolts and we can do thunder and lightning, or we can get rid of chemtrails. We can do a lot without those things, but I haven't, you know, really been doing that, because it's kind of like really neat stuff to look at visually, but it doesn't really solve a lot of problems. So it'd be nice if somebody wants to really start doing that. I can get the irradiators and I'll show you how to knock those things down. But what she was describing, one of those pipes, is a form of orgone accumulators. They used to do that to make rain. And it actually started with the Indians, you know, the Native Americans were doing that with dances and bamboo-like tubes and stuff. And it goes back a ways if you start studying weather control. But originally, man had control of weather. He just sort of lost it along with everything else because his will got involved. His free will got in, upset his balance with nature. Then we had storms. That's how it goes. Because nature, you know, if you're unbalanced, then nature makes a storm. And now we got, you know, great big hurricanes out there. And if you look at the book that I wrote, shows you how that man's anger creates, you know, all this negative stuff. It's well laid out. I mean, I think it is. Maybe I'm all wrong, but it seems to be accepted. And so there's so many, these questions are great. But, you know, a lot of them are answered. And we'll get everybody answered sooner or later. And then I can't wait till people start, you know, answering other people's questions. That'll be great, you know. People listen to us and learn something, and something goes to their heart. Actually, it's not about learning, it's what you feel. So they feel something, and they go out there and they share the feeling. That's all I want to do, is get a good feeling going. I always, you know, one of my teachers used to ask me, what's better than a good, forget all the intellect, you know, forget all everything. What's better than a good feeling? And you know what? I can't answer that. I say a good feeling at the end of the day, you know. With that, I think we should get out of here. What do you think, Don?
Well, we got a lot of listeners right now, but none of them are calling in.
Oh, that's good. So put some music on.
So maybe we'll just, close it off, put some music on from Dr. Bell and his wonderful music tracks.
And thank God we're still on the air tonight. Your website didn't crash.
That's right.
Wow, miracles will never quit.
You know, well, next week we're going to be moving to the dedicated servers, finally.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And, it's sorely needed.
I had fun tonight. Did you have fun tonight?
I always have fun.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a great day.
Yeah, it is. The sun is really bright over here tonight. It's shining too bright.
You know, it's funny, because when I spend a little time, and when I wake up, when I remember to be grateful for having that day, and I remember to just meditate a little bit and get into my space, and I say out loud, today's a great day, and it's going to be an awesome day, and, you know, things just, if you kind of got to start out the day that way.
Agree.
With your own, you know, personal power, I guess.
Yeah, that's called the will. I agree with that.
And things just kind of turn out that way.
I love to wake up in my spaceship orbiting Earth and see the sun coming up on one side of it and the shadow on the other. It's a great feeling.
you know, I'm looking forward to heading down to, you know, we'll, this is probably not something we should, you know, I mean, I'll just, what I'm trying to say is, you know, I'm looking forward to coming down and living in California.
Yeah,
and,
that's really interesting.
Being closer to you and being able to get a lot of these new projects we have going.
Yeah, this is
going
to be great.
With the blog, so.
Yeah.
It is. I think that's for you.
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Bell.
Hi, who is this?
This is Steve from Glendale. I think I'm your second listener.
Oh, okay. How are you doing, Steve from Glendale?
I'm doing fine.
Southern California.
Yeah.
Tell Don how bright the sun is out here at night.
Well, tonight the
very bright
you know
sun, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said it's a very bright sun shining out here tonight.
Yeah. Reflecting off the moon, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So what would be your question?
Well, I had a whole bunch of them answered just with the prior caller.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, it worked out well, so now I don't have to ask them any.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I just, in regards to herbs.
Yeah.
From what I understand, what you said, that they change your frequency in... with the different recipes that you might make up with them, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. And these frequency changes, that's what kills off the viruses and things like that? They can't
right,
handle
viruses
it?
Viruses feed on offbeat frequencies, disharmonic resonance, you might call it.
Yeah.
Right. That's correct.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. One of the things that... I've been kind of aware of, but not totally sure of, is in those chemtrails, are they spraying viruses along with them?
No, they're spraying bromide.
Bromide.
Yeah. The bromide in the bromide family. And these are, they kill bacteria primarily, more than viruses. They're pretty much a bacterial killer. And the reason they're doing that is because the atmosphere... We've lowered our, you know, there used to be a certain amount of oxygen in the world.
Yes.
And which is aerobic. And oxygen kills bacteria, you know, anaerobic bacteria die in the presence of oxygen. What happens is, because of the destruction of the ozone layer and a few other things that we've done, primarily the increasing of the humidity, when you increase the humidity, bacteria and virus just thrives in that. And that goes all the way up into the stratosphere and the troposphere. So what happens is now they have a big problem with the jet engines and the fuel getting contaminated with all kinds of things growing in it, which shuts the motors down. So they've had to make stronger and stronger chemicals. And it's gone from JP2 to JP9.
Wow.
And so as a result of that, they're putting out some pretty toxic stuff. Actually, the government... even itself is concerned now because there's so many chemtrails now. And normally you wouldn't have seen the chemtrail, but when you increase the carbon dioxide levels on the planet, then that causes the humidity levels to go up. So therefore, water vapor becomes more visible. And so that's now causing a problem with the amount of light coming from the sun, which would kill a lot of these bacteria. And so there's a big catch-22 even the government's aware of now. What they're going to do about it, I don't know, but NASA's doing a big study on it. I don't bring that up because I don't think people are ready to hear that, but there is a big study going on at NASA, and NASA's concerned, not per se with the chemistry itself of the chemtrails, but the actual light-blocking characteristics of the surface of the planet. That's their concern.
Yeah, I can see that.
When you should see it from satellite. I mean, you go up on the I monitor the NASA site, website daily, and you should see that it's pretty bad.
I bet.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's only through it's only through the carbon dioxide levels rising that the surface temperature of the planet's rising. Because when you look at how much sunlight we're blocking right now because of this, it should go the other way. Oh, the environment's skew here. I don't know which way to go with these conversations because I'm aware of what it's doing in many directions, but there is no solution right now.
Well, I think your earlier solution was correct, where you just learn to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you can do right now. And the thing is, like, one thing I did on the Art Bell Show last time I was on there with Ian Hunnett was that I brought up the hemp.
Yes.
And I think that night we had at least 10 million listeners because it upset their shows. They weren't on there too much anymore because the commentary that we get upsets the future shows. Everybody's calling in still wanting answers from my show, which is only 3 hours long. And so, but the bottom line was that hemp would produce enough oxygen to fix the carbon dioxide level, which would make the plants healthier. Hemp, the methanol that's produced by hemp, produces carbon dioxide in water, so there's no smog, so the smog industry goes away. So it would solve the problem. But, you know, and it would solve them rather quickly. It would basically take 4 years to fix this. Use hemp. 4 years. They don't want to do that. I mean, and it completely interferes with the depopulation policy of Henry Kissinger. So we'll just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, so those chemtrails aren't part of their depopulation.
No,
strategy.
But they're becoming part of it. I mean, that sort of worked in with, you know, sort of worked in. It was kind of blended in with a mix.
Yeah.
But then they got children, too, so they don't want their kids dying either, you know. Their kids breathe the same air as ours do. So there is a common denominator. And this was really brought to a head at the CIA back when George Tenet was there. This was all these things, issues were getting kicked around back there at Langley, and there was starting to become some resistance. And that's, I think, why George Tenet fell on the sword and left. Because even the CIA and people up at the NSA were starting to see the problem here because they all have family. And I think all that's dead right now.
Well,
I'm just showing you the politics of how this works. There's conflict everywhere in the whole scenario. So even us out here, us civilians out here aren't alone. There's an internal explosion going on with the bowels of the government right now. And we're going to win. We already know that. So rather than drown in our sorrow that we're losing, just take care of your personal environment. It's all going to be cool.
Yeah, that makes total sense that we should be cause over what we're doing rather than be effect of what we're doing.
Don't waste your energy in the cause.
God, you're so right. Because, you know, people that worry so much about chemtrails become so fearful. It's just another... It's almost like Tamiflu or getting inoculations or vaccines. It's the same thing.
It's called paranoia feeding.
Yeah.
Paranoia.
Exactly. Don't let it get to you. Just stand back from it. Keep your own personal life clean. Clean up your own environment, which basically means your inner environment. And, hey, that's the best you can do.
One of the questions I had is I'd like to clear up if I have false data or not as to whether in those chemtrails the stuff that they're spraying is easily ionized so that they can put radio waves out and change our frequencies,
okay.
The population.
That's done at HARP, okay?
Yes.
First of all, the term evenly ionized has no purpose when you're dealing with a 5,000 degree tailpipe and chemicals going through that and a waste gas producer. No, the ionization in a jet engine occurs between the input temperature and the exhaust gas,
mm-hmm.
and that's called a flame jet generator, okay,
mm-hmm.
for your purpose, so you understand what that is. And I wrote about that in my book, and that's what we use in the stealth aircraft to go supersonic. It has nothing to do with human health.
So the sun...
ionization, just scratch that one off. It has to do with making planes go faster.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
The rest of it, the temperature gradient is a big problem. Okay, that's always a problem. And that's what the temperature gradient between the input and the output exhaust is depleted the ozone. Okay, that's why the ozone layer is dropping. And that came out in the Global 2000 report to the president that I used to sell until the government ran out of printing those things, okay?
Yeah.
So just look at those things in perspective to understand them more.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Is it true that cows and all women are now, because I think I was hearing a report that women that breastfeed will have a percentage of jet fuel or rocket fuel.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Okay, cows have several stomachs, and they have a large mammary gland, and women have the equivalent of an extra stomach with their breast. Okay, what happens is number one, the mammary gland in a woman absorbs radiation. The mammary gland in a cow absorbs radiation. The cow transmits the radiation into its milk. The woman transmits it through her body. The woman ends up with cancer of the breast, and the cow ends up giving cancer to the milk it drinks. Okay, that's one scenario. Others are the chemistry themselves. Chemicals go through the same way to a cow and a woman. Okay? Unfortunately, fortunately for a cow is eating grass. Grass is full of chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is a great detoxive. Cows, because they're eating raw grass and rich with chlorophyll, don't get cancer because this will take care of it. Women, on the other hand, are eating hamburgers and all kinds of bad stuff. They get it. So there's a difference between what the cow is eating and the person is ingesting. Okay, so ingestion has something to do with it as far as that. And then with the offspring, of course, like people with too much copper, kids have, you know, emphysema. There's so many different things and diseases that are transmitted, and if it doesn't come out directly as a disease at birth, then it comes out as a genetic weakness. Whereas if you could turn that around in future generations and put a healthy environment for the parent, cow or person, then that would start to change the geneticism that would be transmitting from a negative to a positive gene. So genetics kind of goes with the ebb and flow of the host. You follow me? That's how that kind of works. No. Maybe I interrupted something else you wanted to ask me. I don't know.
No, you answered it perfectly, actually.
I understand. It's pretty much common sense, and that's all it is. I mean, it's nothing complicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, while you're talking about other species, what kind of birds do you raise?
Well, I had a bunch more than I do now, but I have a blue and gold macaw, a Hans macaw, and an African gray. Of course, my words of wisdom come in the morning when I get up from the African gray.
Yeah, I hear they're quite the intelligent.
Well, I could turn the lights on. And I'll bring them on the air one night.
Well, that would be fun.
They'll keep you busy for a while.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
And by the way, my birds talk. They do parrot, they do mimic, but they do talk. They know each bird probably knows about 20 basic words that you can communicate back and forth and actually talk to them. That's the beauty of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I read an article one time where this one gray, African gray, had a vocabulary of 900 words.
Oh, easily. Mine's probably got that. Easily.
Wow, really? Oh, that's neat. We have a herbal nutritionist who also does radionics.
Right.
Or uses radionics to tell you what you need and stuff like that. And she used to have an African gray who would walk down the wood floor and knock on her door to wake her up in the morning.
Oh, yeah, they'll do that in a minute.
We have a cockatiel.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those here and there, and those are good.
They're fun.
I actually had one that talked.
Really?
Yeah, they don't say too many words.
Yeah,
they'll
understand.
Say, like, pretty bird, you know, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but
ours doesn't talk, but she sure does beg when she wants something.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty smart. They're sweet birds. They're very loving birds.
Yeah.
Cockatiels are very loving. They're also very sensitive to disease. You got to really protect them.
Yeah, my wife and I came down with a cold flu.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem natural. It seemed like something that we got because of something in the atmosphere besides from other humans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
And our cockatiel had it too, according to the checkout. So we're all on herbs right now.
Oh, that's cool.
So.
What herbs are you taking?
Well, you know what? My wife would be able to answer that better than me.
Okay, so you know you're taking a pill with herbs in it.
No, it's not even a pill. It's a solution. It's got all kinds of stuff in it.
Yeah, those are good. The tinctures.
I have a whole bunch
of those little eyedropper bottles, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I use those all the time. Those are great.
Yeah.
I've been using them for years. Take them under your tongue. They work better. That's not how you're doing them?
Well, actually, it's mixed in a grain alcohol and water solution.
Yeah, I understand that, but still you do a sublingual under your tongue.
It gets under my tongue when I drink it.
Huh?
I'd take it like a shot of whiskey or something, you know.
That'll work.
Toss it down.
Put your herb and take a shot with it. That's pretty good. I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
Those are good, but the best thing to do with those solutions is take it under your tongue direct.
Yeah, I noticed that. It actually gets alongside my tongue, and I actually like it there.
Yeah, because the mucous membranes under your tongue go directly to your thalamus gland and also into your lymphatic system, so it goes into the immune system rather quickly.
Well, that's where you want it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering about the stomach acids and things like that, destroying them.
No, they never see the stomach. That's why you put it under your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you use a pyramid or anything with your birds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've used them.
Have it on their cage, or?
Well, no, I have it in their water, and they're underneath a Devastar, which is pretty powerful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. We're only about 60 miles from you or so. You're in Laguna?
Yeah.
Is it possible for one to drive down and see your location, or do you have...
Well, we have people here at the house during our seminars.
Okay.
Sign up for a seminar, and then you can come here.
Then I can come.
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
I look forward to meeting you. People coming through here. We used to do that years ago, but I have no time. It's, 11:30 right now, and I've probably had 5 or 6 hours of leisure this entire week.
Ooh, that's not much.
Schedule. Yeah.
Well, I hope you're enjoying doing these shows, because we sure do enjoy listening to them.
Well, Don told me that I would enjoy them or he'd have me shot. So in order to stay alive,
well,
I'm enjoying them.
You can't be shot, so you got to enjoy them.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at with that. Let's put it this way. There's a couple of black cars sitting out in front of my driveway.
Uh-oh.
Some strange-looking people with big hats on them, inside of them, and they could come in here at any moment. So I think I better do a good show, and then they won't be in here.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to know their names?
Really?
Speaking of other people listening in on the show, do you think the Palladians are doing that and following what's going on here on Earth?
Oh, I think they're very much alive here. Well, yeah, they're doing fine.
Well, good. I think you answered all my questions.
Well, then you go. It's time for you to go to bed now, because it's late at night.
Well, I won't be able to sleep for a while.
Maybe a Canadian will wake you up later.
I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah.
I sleep pretty sound.
Okay, good. Are you sleeping in a pyramid yet?
No. That's why I was asking you if we...
Then you start having stereotype dreams.
I had a weird dream this morning. Just before I woke up, I dreamt that I was sitting next to Warren Buffett, and he was showing me what he did with a stock after he chose it.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then he wouldn't answer my questions, and he walked away from me real fast, and we were like kind of in a weird church or something,
yeah.
And he went up into the choir and got mixed up in a whole bunch of people, and he got away from me.
Sounds like a damn video for a rock song, you know?
Yeah.
It does. I like that. That's cool.
Well, that was my dream this morning.
That's a good one. Now, you
gotta
get one of my Portamids and then report. You can get it in living color and maybe even videotape it, you know?
It was in color, but we'll have to figure out a way to videotape that.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. maybe with a 3D computer program.
Yeah.
So everything that we want to get from you, we just basically do it over the web.
Yeah, that's good. Just call up our staff, you know, the Teradyne staff. We got Mitch and Mikkel, and Mikkel and Mitch there at the 800 number was 1-800-729-2603. And then you can email me at fredbell@paradigm.com. And if you can't find anything, just type in Dr. Fred Bell in the search engine, and it all comes up anyway.
Oh, I have all that stuff on my PC.
Yeah, just tell your friends, Dr. Fred Bell, Google, A9, MSN, any of those search engines, you know, here I come.
I do tell them.
I'm really in your computer. I'm beyond the worst virus you'll ever have.
Well,
I
don't know
memory
about
like
that.
It was breakfast, you know.
Breakfast. You're a friendly virus.
Huh?
You're a friendly virus.
Yeah, I'm a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I don't want to. I know it's late. And
so we're going to close it down here. It's
yeah,
been about 25 minutes and 52 seconds.
Yeah, I'm getting into your
1 hour show. You know,
three and a half hours of sleep here, so
yeah,
I don't want to do that too much. And I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad we appreciate you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a show.
Well,
two-way street, you know.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
But you got to know that too.
Oh, I do know it. Believe me.
You know, that's a form of payment.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool. I like it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll talk again.
Okay. All right, Don, the switchboard's off. I'm done.
Okay.
That was a fun show tonight.
That was a wonderful show. I always get into your shows. I really do.
I don't even know what happened here. The aspirin is wearing off. Where have I been? God, the great God of bear, you know? Oh, my God. That was a fun show. I mean, I fun because I can stand here in my kitchen and watch the fish swim by on my screensaver and talk to Don and the gang out there. You know, it's kind of fun.
You know, it's going to be enjoyable when I have it, because right now I got these four walls and no real scenery here in Texas. It's going to be nice when I can actually sit out on the porch and be on the radio program at the same time.
I could see normally out over the ocean while I do the show, but it's always dark, you know. So I'm sort of in the kitchen, but it's a really cool kind of a kitchen. It's kind of like a spaceship. You'll see when you come here. Your brother's been here.
You know, you should take a look at, when you get a chance, take a look at bbsradio.com.
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
Check that picture out of Hawaii. It's quite a shocker.
What picture?
It's one of my pictures of the week.
Oh, I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah, you're going to have to take a look at it. It's quite a strange overlay of the Hawaiian island.
Yeah.
And it really brings out quite a look.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Are you going to bed or are you going to stay up for a while?
Well, I'll probably crash and then get up early in the morning and try to get through all of November's archives and get them up.
Yeah, that would be good. I'd be early too.
How long have I been promising to get all these archives up?
I don't know. Let's see, what, 200 BC?
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm almost a month behind, so.
I don't think Jesus has been born yet and made that promise.
I'm telling you, if I don't get caught up soon, it's going to become a nightmare for me.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to send these guys you sent out here to watch my house over to your place. I'm going to pay them more than you paid them to watch me. One guy says all he got was 20 grand. I said, I give him 40 to go back and watch you. He says he's going to do it, but he says, who's going to cover the expenses driving all the way back to Houston, you know? I says, I'll give you 5 grand for expenses. He's done. He already hit the road.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be ready for him.
Better be.
Yeah, it was a great show. I really appreciate you taking the time out on your Saturday evening to do another show with us.
This is a true story. My girlfriend, Mikkel, you know, I had promised her I was going to take her to this Mexican place that we were at 1 year ago, Javier's. That's where we were going tonight. But we ended up doing the show. I've been promising her for 6 months I was going to take her there. So maybe next Saturday night, I'll get to go to Javier's and have a little dinner. It's a really cool, quaint place down on the ocean.
Oh, you got to take time out and take the little lass out. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So anyhow,
otherwise, she'll never forgive you or me. And she doesn't even know me yet, but she probably thinks I'm stealing all your time.
Well, she's got she bought a Thompson machine gun, a submachine gun. So, DN carved in the stock. I don't know if that means anything, but it says DN.
DN?
Yeah, DN.
Maybe she's got, maybe there's someone she knows by those initials.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's what she's got, you know. You have to deal with that one.
Well, get you.
Are we on the air? Are we off now?
Oh, we're still on the air. People are listening to us.
Can you spell music and take us out of here?
You got it. I'll do that now.
Okay.
All right.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.